Before. Oh. All right, so two mistakes, not a third. Well, maybe. We'll see. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And there, we'll see that Paul is talking to the Ephesians, right? No, he's talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to the Corinthians about idol worshiping. Okay? Idol worshiping, or worshiping false idols, has been a real struggle and is a real struggle for a lot of people. You can see throughout the book of the Old Testament, Israel, you're talking about chosen people, they've struggled for it for years and years, and they go back and forth. So what is idol worshiping? Self-explained. So explain that to me, because I'm dense. TJ, well, it's idol worshiping then. No, explain what it is. Explain somebody. Jesse, do you know what it is? Good. I like that. I like that definition. So it's putting something above or equal to as God, or as a distraction to you. Can anybody, hey, can anybody give an example of, back then we're talking about little tiny idols, right, or wooden carved idols, but can anybody give an example of idol worshiping in modern times? Like modern day, like now, yeah. Like 2021. What? Cell phones, internet. Snow cones? TV, yeah. Did you say snow cones?
Cell phones.
Oh, cell phones.
Internet, TV,
animal. An animal.
Celebrity.
Anybody else?
Sorry.
He's taking all the good ones.
Yeah, he gave them all.
He gave them all. So, modern-day idols people worship. I heard cell phone, internet, TV, celebrities.
Yourself.
So, distracting people, things. I think that there's a big one still out there.
Other gods,
yes. Doctrine, other gods, other religions. Food, people could worship food, gluttony. they don't really use too much of it in literal, but they have a little plastic thing, what represents it. It starts with a lot of different words and having a lot of slangs. Throughout, every nation has this, and it's currency.
Plastic?
Credit card, debit card.
Is
it? I don't know. Is paper and coins metal? It's just a different metal, I think.
No, oh my God.
Well, anyway, so there's a lot of things, right? There's modern day idol worshiping, is my point, right?
Yeah.
Right? You see that. You can see that in today's notice, right? All right. So we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 14 through 15. Cassia.
Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise.
So Paul is warning the Corinthians to get away from false idols, or get away from things that distract you from Yahweh, right? Distract you from God. So don't let these things in your house. Nothing in any part of your life. A complete ban. Not even the littlest participation of anything that has to do with false idols. Right? And it's not saying, now we mentioned money, it's not saying, oh, well, throw your money away. Right? It's not saying that. It's not worshiping it. So there's that participation of worshiping it. Paul tells them that they know the right from wrong. Right? They're smart enough to know better. Basically, it's kind of a challenge he puts out there. You know better. Sometimes there's times in your life where you need to step back and get a different perspective on what you're doing. Right? Looking at things as a judge, not as yourself. You know, then figuring out if you're doing a good thing or a bad thing. Right? Because sometimes you could get so close to something that you don't really see that you're doing something wrong. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 17, Anna? Huh?
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread.
All right. So, obviously, it sounds like, now this was a long time ago, right? When this was written, when this was penned. So a long time ago, they were taking communion just like who? Just like us, right? They're taking communion just like we do, right? Maybe not with gluten-free crackers and Welch's grape juice, but they were taking communion just the same. You know, and it was for the same reason. So there's going to be a lot of questions. So why do we take communion? What is the reason? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, a lot.
We take communion so that we can remember Jesus' sacrifice for us.
Right? So it's there to remember Jesus, and it's to get closer to him, kind of have a union with him, rededicating yourself to him, saying, yes, I'm going to follow you, I remember what you did, and I'm going to follow you. So, now we're not just one person here, right? There's multiple people here, isn't there? Yeah, okay. Now, but we're part of the body of Christ, aren't we? So, and that's why we say, you know, there were many, however, one bread, one body. So we're all focused on the same thing. When we're together in communion and we're union with God, that means we're coming together, right, with that one focus. It's getting somewhere. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 18 and 19, Aiden.
Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols?
Okay, so anybody remember back in chapter 8, if you remember our lesson, as far as when they were talking about food or meat sacrificed to false idol, what was the conclusion Paul had as far as good or bad? Aiden?
Good.
But did that food have any power of a false god? No. So he's not going back on what he was saying. He's not changing his opinion. He's not changing his stand on that. The meat offered to false idols does not have any power. He's saying it doesn't mean anything. But it seems like where you eat that food seems to be a problem. So does anybody have an idea why that would be a problem? So where is he talking about where it's a problem to eat that meat? Yes. Right, right, exactly. So why would that be a problem? Well, it is sacrificed to another idol. So if it's sacrificed to another idol, a false god, why, if you could eat that meat, say, in your home, you know, what sacrifice, you know, no big deal. But if you go somewhere where you go to a temple of a false god and they sacrifice meat and you eat it, why is that a problem? It's the same meat. Exactly. You're participating about that worship. You know, everybody around you is worshiping who? That false idol. So if you're there and you're worshiping what they consider a part of their worship, it's saying that you're worshiping that false idol. Even if you weren't, even if you're like, no, I wasn't doing that. I was just eating the meat. I just like it. No. You're worshiping that idol. And everybody's thinking you're worshiping that idol, so you're giving that persona, that message, well, he's okay. He's worshiping this idol. You know, you might be shouting to everybody, it's okay to worship God in this false idol. It's fine, as long as you worship both. All right? Because you're partaking of worshiping that false idol. In verse 20 through 22, Sierra. All right, so, I mean, it sounds pretty sound advice, right? Not to have fellowship with demons. Demons aren't, you don't think of demons as a nice guy, right? Or a nice person. So demonic spirits, they've always been associated with false idol worshiping. Why? It's because they could take advantage of that. They could take advantage and they could deceive many and they could enslave many. Because they're distracted from God and they want us to be distracted from God. You know, we cannot serve two masters. Many have tried and they've tried their best, but you can't serve two masters. So do you think it's okay with God to do evil some of the time and then righteous some of the time? Do you think he's okay with that? No, he's not. You know, and if you're going to do that, you're going to be going against God. And if you go against God, who do you think is stronger? You or God? That's a question.
Oh, God.
It should be an easy question, right? You're going to be like, oh, I could take him, right? You shouldn't be thinking that, but as God is way stronger. Now, if you remember at the beginning of our lesson in verse 15, Paul asked the Corinthians to be a judge, right? Step back from what they were doing because idol worshiping was a big part of their culture. Step back, and he gave these points at this point. He gave all these points. Now, Is there ever any time that it's okay to worship an idol? Is what he's asking him. And what do you think? From what you've heard, so you guys are the judge. He's asked you, as well as the Corinthians, do you think there's any good time? Oh, well, I was just there, just happened. No. No, there's no good time. There's no okay time to worship a false idol. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. Jesse? So, these things that Paul's pointing out as being helpful or not helpful, edifying or non-edifying, do you think that applies only about how it affects our lives? Jaden, do you understand that question? Do you think he's talking about how is it helpful for us? Or is he saying it's help for somebody else? What do you think? Anybody? All of us. Anyone? TJ, anyone? Or Cassia, do you know? You don't know? It's confusing, right? It's kind of both because it's, in this aspect, I think Paul's leaning towards, is it helpful for other people? Is it edifying for other people? What we're doing, is it edifying for other people? Because although we have freedoms, right, to do the things we do, we also have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to help others grow in their Christian walk. It's to spread the gospel to other people. It's to help them up, right? To edify others. It's not, oh, well, that makes me feel good, so I must be what I want to do. It's not about that. It's about being edifying for those around you, being helpful for those around you. Our first duty is others, not ourselves. You know, we're supposed to be others-centered, not self-centered. Verses 25 through 26. Jaden, can you read that? So these marketplaces, right, these marketplaces would sell meat offered up to idols. And that was the big debate. But they'd also sell meat that wasn't offered up to idols. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, meat's meat. It's all put in the same pile, or it probably separated what pile of meat it was, but chicken and liver and steak and whatever. But what it is, if you felt like the offering up idol meat was no big deal, that meant nothing, don't let it mean anything. You know, don't try to make a point. Look at me. I could do this. I'm free to do this. Don't be that guy. You know, if the sign says wet paint, do not touch, don't touch, right? Unless you're the guy who painted it and you're checking it, right? But don't touch. You know, you don't have to stand up and say, look at me, right? It's not about that. You know, God's not about that. You know, so eating the meat depended on your attitude. It also depended on your attitude towards God. And then to the ones who are worried about eating the meat offered up to the idols, is he's basically saying, don't stress about it. Don't make an issue out of something that may not be an issue. You know, because didn't God create everything? God created the whole world. So in its fullness, meaning everything in the world, everything on earth, all the meat, food, trees, whatever it is, belongs to God. It's the Lord's. It's not these little tiny fake idols, God, you know, it's not their meat. It's God's meat. You know, God is in control and he is the most powerful. He is the ultimate power. So giving grace and giving thanks over the meat and trusting in the Lord. So yeah, this is where we kind of get saying grace before meals. There is a reason they do it, is to bless the food. It's because at that time, they weren't sure where it was coming from, but they needed to bless it and do everything for God. Verses 27 and 28, TJ? So again, there's another incident. You know, so if your dinner host tells you, oh, by the way, this food I gave you or giving you was offered up to idols, what should you do?
I'll pass.
Why? For conscience sakes. All right, perfect. So this dinner host, right? He invites you over to dinner, and then he throws some food at you and says, oh, by the way. So what do you think is going through that dinner host's head? Could be. It's like, I'm going to poison him. But what else? What else do you think is going through his head? Anyone? Their head. Right. He's curious. You know, will this person eat it? Will you eat this meat? I don't know. Maybe it's a little test. Maybe it's like, oh, well, is it bad to eat this meat? Maybe.
I don't know. Just like it does, because like I would want to tell them just so like they know, like, hey.
All right, there is another thought is maybe you're just being upright and saying, well, you know, this is your choice. So you still are waiting to see if they're going to eat it, right? Or if you guys are going to eat that meat. But you're going to let them know, yeah, I don't want you to do anything you'd want to do. They could be nice that way, right? Right? Or maybe they're allergic to idol worshiping, right? You know, will you eat it? Is it bad for you to eat it? Will you guys break the rules just to be nice? You know, they might actually be thinking, well, if he eats it, or if you guys eat it, it'll be fine for me to eat it, and I could still be good with God. Right? So the problem is, though, is to in their mind, do you think, if they tell you that, do you think that that offering up to that false idol, do you think that means something to that person, to that dinner host? Probably, right? Because he mentioned it, or they mentioned it, and so it must mean something to them. So if it means something to them, if you just go ahead and eat it, and like, so are you sending the wrong message? So you're saying, yeah, you're sending that message before them, that they think it's bad, but you're saying it's okay, so it's a confusing time. So you don't want to stumble anyone before you help them. So that's, maybe there should be a conversation before you just jump in and say, okay, yeah, this food's fine to eat. But there should be a conversation first, because obviously that's a hang up for them. So you need to be careful on how you help them or what you do, because we need to help them first. Verses 29 through 30. Cassie. Yeah.
What?
No, 29 through 30. Sorry. You didn't get that one? Okay, perfect. No, she has it. She's good.
You said 29
and 30. Or through 30.
But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken to the food over which I give thanks?
All right. So for conscience sake, right? It can be, these verses can be a little confusing, right? Because he's like going back, it's almost like he's going back and forth. Paul is saying if your conscience tells you that it's okay to eat that meat, right? So, if all follow me, if it says that, if that's what your brain's saying, that it's okay to eat meat offered up to idols, or maybe it isn't, whatever that is, your conscience should not change because of somebody else. Right? Does that sound like it's he's contradicting what he just told us before?
No?
No? Okay. So he said earlier, because of the person, the dinner host's conscience, oh, well, don't eat it because of their conscience. But now he's saying that don't change your conscience for somebody else. Does that make sense? It does make sense, though, is because we are restricting our freedoms. It's not, we're not changing our point of view because somebody else. You don't want to do that. If you know what you know and you know it's right, you're not changing that. But you're restricting your freedoms so that you don't stumble somebody else. So as you're sacrificing your freedoms to say, oh, well, I don't care what they think. You're trying to be nice, right? It's what you do to be nice. Now, Jesus did not seek his own when he came on earth, did he? He didn't seek his own. He didn't do things for his pleasure. Instead, his desire was to help others. His desire was to help everyone. So in chapter 10, 31 through 33, Lana. So we're doing all things to the glory of God, right? Means everything you do. So a huge part of glorifying God is walking in love, right? And if we walk in love, we're trying not to offend people, right? We're trying not to stumble people. You know, we care about them. Right? And that's henceforth walking in love. We're caring about others. You know, we need to sacrifice our freedoms looking out for other people. in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Oh, yeah. Hayden? Imitate. All right, who's the me in that sentence? Everyone? Lana? Who's the me in that sentence?
Paul.
Paul, right? So Paul's writing this book, right? So we should not imitate Paul because he's Paul. He's not saying that, well, imitate me. Right? He's saying, imitate me because you should be following, or we should be following his lead, because he imitated Jesus, right? And that's what our desires should be, is Jesus is the ultimate example. The one what sacrificed everything, gave up his freedoms because he was innocent for us. Sarah, can you close us in prayer?